Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Hope you refreshed your cup of coffee, got a Danish or whatever just delights you. And we're recording this on Fat Tuesday, people. You're not hearing it on Fat Tuesday, but so the benefits of baptism. Mark 16:16.
Oh yeah.
What a wonderful word of promise that our Lord would attach to this external, visible means, water. Mm-hmm. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. There you have the whole thing. It's what Peter said too, right?
Yep. Baptism now saves you. Sorry. Yeah, baptism now saves you. That's right. So there you have it again. It bears worth repeating once again, Scott. You don't make these false distinctions. Namely, Christ saves, therefore baptism can't. That's a false dichotomy. Scripture clearly teaches both. Christ saves, and so does baptism. Baptism saves because Christ is putting his name on you. He is giving you the forgiveness of sins that he won for you at Calvary. He is giving you his Holy Spirit. He is rescuing you from death and the devil. He is giving you, as he says in Mark 16, salvation. So I hope this is helpful for people, because we have grown up in a society that makes these false dichotomies and false distinctions. It's thinking that, this water baptism stuff doesn't do anything. Well, yes, it does, because Jesus is the one who's working in it.
And he does everything.
Yeah.
But see, I think something that goes hand in hand then with that idea that baptism is a nothing, Brent, is this idea that Jesus isn't present and active. He's not here. He's up in heaven, see? And so what happens here in church, what happens there at the font, that's man's work, okay? No. The same Christ Jesus who institutes holy baptism is the one who, in that baptism, is giving and bestowing his name and all the benefits that flow from that.
I agree, and there's another reason, too. It's called free will. The old Adam and the old Eve wants to be in control. And so I'll be in charge. And if I'm going to get saved, I'm going to do it. Oh, yeah, Jesus died for me, but everything is keyed upon whether I decide to make him my Lord and Master. And thus baptism gets fit with all of this. So when I make Jesus my Lord and Master, then I'm finally saved.
And so now I'll use baptism then as a tool in some way to show that I've made him my Lord and Master.
Exactly.
It becomes my means of my saving myself.
Yeah, evidence that I've made a decision for Jesus, that I've made him my Lord and Master. Now notice, again, this is Christianity in reverse. I mean, it's stripping out the transmission of Christianity when you talk like that.
Well, it's another gospel, as Paul would say to the Galatians.
It is.
Rather than God coming from heaven to earth for the salvation of the world, it is man climbing to heaven to restore himself to God. It's upside down, folks.
I agree. And one of the big diagnoses to find out whether you've got it gospel right or not, whether you're confessing Christ correctly, is if he's doing the verbs with regard to salvation or whether you're doing them. If you're doing the verbs when it comes to salvation, well, good luck, folks.
So when Peter says baptism now saves you, who's doing the saving? It all depends on how you define, you know, what's going on in who's the baptism?
That's right.
Is it me being baptized as a confession of my faith, or is it the Christ washing away my sins?
So again, I'll say it one more time. To be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is to be baptized by God himself. And he's giving you his own name and everything that he is and has. That is absolutely crucial for understanding what we're talking about. Now, 1 Corinthians 6. Paul again. The Paul of Acts 22:16, who was told by Pastor Ananias, "What are you waiting for? Be baptized, wash away your sins." This same Paul now in 1 Corinthians 6, in dealing with these Corinthian Christians, he says, "But you were washed." Now this is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11, I think, right?
Yep.
Yep. You were washed. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash. There's that verb again. But you were washed, 1 Corinthians 6:11. That's a reference to baptism. And because you've been washed, Paul says, you are sanctified. You are saints.
You're holied. You're made holy.
That's exactly right. You are holied. And then he says...
That's a passive, by the way. It happens to you. You are made to be holy. You do not holy yourself.
That's because Jesus has given you his righteousness and his holiness, and it doesn't belong to you. It's his.
I'll bet you this is the same Paul who will say to these same Corinthians that Christ is our sanctification, our holiness.
Yeah, he said that in chapter 1.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So because you're washed, namely because you're baptized, you are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There's that name language that we heard in Acts 2, yeah, and in Acts 22, and there's the reference
and
to the Spirit.
And in Matthew 28.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, all these things start to hang together. In other words, when Paul has to address sinners and call them to repentance and faith, he will reference them to, look, you used to be like these people that I just mentioned, slanderers, swindlers, homosexual offenders, prostitutes, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, etc. He says, that's the way you used to be. Don't be like that anymore. Why? Because you're baptized. All that stuff you've died to. You've been washed. You're holied. You're justified in the name of Jesus Christ, and you've been given the Spirit. So when he gives them pastoral care, notice he references them to their baptism, where he says elsewhere in Romans 6, you died with Christ, you were buried with him into his death, his Good Friday death.
And you're made to be a new creation, the language once again to the Corinthians as well, through this washing.
Yeah, and back to the Romans 6, so that we too, not only we've been buried with Christ through baptism into his death, but we've also been raised with Christ to do what? To live a new life. And that's his point here in 1 Corinthians 6. You don't go back to the slavery of your sin, but you're baptized. Now everything's changed. It's called a new creation, as you referenced from 2 Corinthians 5. So now I think hopefully people can begin to understand that baptism isn't just a once. It happened a long time ago and I don't even remember it. And therefore, it has no meaning for my life at all anymore. Yes, it does. It has immense meaning for your present life. And it will bear fruit in eternal life called the resurrection of the body as well. But again, it bears fruit in your life now, which is called repentance and faith, which we're going to get to here in a little bit, I assume. Right?
Yeah, and Brent, I want to just call to mind to the hearers once again something that you mentioned earlier. And it's very subtle language, but I think it may be helpful for us. It's not the language of I was baptized, but I am baptized.
Yes, yes. For example, what if I told you today, Scott, that I was married? What would you think of me?
That you're no longer married.
Right. But see, so it's how you talk makes a world of a difference.
Right.
So if you say I was baptized, then you might get that, well, you were, but you're not.
And I think many times for us Christians, when we say it that way, I think we in our maybe it's our subconscious, I don't know, but I think it's our way of saying, I checked that off. I got that done. Are you baptized? Yep, that box is checked, but now it's left behind and it's on to other things. As opposed to the teaching here of the Apostle Paul and this pastoral care of this ongoing life of the one who is baptized into Christ. You are clothed with Christ, he would say to the Galatians. And it's a present reality.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you pointed that out, because Dr. Luther makes that point in the Large Catechism. When your conscience accuses you, when the devil goes after you, you say, oh, yeah, that's right, I've sinned. I am baptized.
Well, see, now I think some of our hearers are just screaming, scandalous, scandalous.
Good.
When they're dealing with sin and guilt, they're running to baptism. Yes, folks, that's what we're saying.
That's exactly right.
Because it's to run to Christ.
That's precisely Paul's point.
It is the ark of refuge for us.
That's why he says, you were washed. That's why in Romans 6 he says you're buried with Christ through baptism into his death.
I'm sure glad it's Paul saying that, not just you and I saying
well,
that.
Well, it would have not a hill of beans if we're just saying it. What's the use?
That's right.
Yeah, so I am baptized. And thus, again, we learn that baptism is gospel gift. To use baptism rightly, then, is to use it against your sin. That's what Jesus wants, because Jesus gave it to use against your sin.
Which is another way of saying, then, use Jesus against your sin.
They're interchangeable.
So this forgiveness of sins rescues from death and the devil and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. As the words and promises of God declare, right?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, you know, this rescue from death and the devil. You know, we've referenced the Romans 6 already, that we've died with Christ, we've been raised to new life with Christ. The Colossians language, that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice what forgiveness of sins does.
Mm.
It rescues us from the devil.
That's right.
From the domain of darkness, from the prince of this world.
Brilliant. And that's so comforting. And backing up just a little bit, to say I am baptized is also the equivalent to saying Jesus died for me. It's the same thing. Again, Jesus died for me, I am baptized. I am baptized, Jesus died for me. No difference. That's the New Testament. Now, there are many people who will say, but, you know, but how can water do such great things? If you ask that question, you haven't been listening, or you've missed the entire point. And so the Small Catechism had to address that question, because Luther was just bombarded with people who said, oh, water can't do that. I mean, you Lutherans, this must just be magic.
Now I just want to be consistent here. To ask that question, how can water do such great things? You need to ask it a different way. You're asking the wrong question. How can Jesus do such great things? That's one way to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you're right. This is, you know, how can water do such great things? We look at the external nature of it. We look at it's not even a very good bath.
That's right.
It's not even a very good washing.
And some pastors are pretty stingy with the water.
Get a pressure washer out there. My sin's bad, you know. If you're going to do some washing away of sin, you better get some pressure going there.
Yeah.
But it's not just the water, right? It's just plain water. But that water's not alone. If it was just the water, it'd be a nothing.
That's right.
But it's got God's word attached to it, right?
That's right, and that's why we say as Lutherans, certainly not the water. The water doesn't do these great things, namely give forgiveness of sins. The water doesn't rescue from death and the devil. The water doesn't give eternal salvation.
It's not a magic water.
No, it's the word. It is the word that is attached and given with the water.
It is the Lord's word that does, it's the Lord that does these things. Okay.
So, yeah, that's right. So if there's no word with the water, it's just plain water, and it's not a baptism. But with the Word of God, with the Lord's words, it is a baptism, and it is a life-giving water then. Now, it's a life-giving water, not because there's something in the water that makes it so inherently good, really super good, but it's the Word.
The Word, which gives life.
Yes.
My Word is spirit, and it is life, Jesus says.
Again, keep in mind the Word, let there be light. It did what it said.
Right.
This is the Word that we're dealing with, the incarnate, enfleshed Word, Jesus himself working here in baptism.
So baptism, a life-giving water, rich in grace, small cat, rich in grace, just springing forth in abundance of his undeserved love, forgiveness of sins, and this, rich in forgiveness.
Luther's this rich in grace language here from the Small Catechism is just echoing the Old Testament language of salvation like it's a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, folks, when you read the Old Testament, and listen to the flood language. And sometimes the flood language is when you're overwhelmed by your sin and the accusations of the world and the devil. But then to comfort his people, God uses the language of flood, mercy. His mercy is like flood waters, you know.
And it flows in the desert where there is no life. And what springs forth? Life.
Yeah.
The crocus bloom and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are the desert. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but this is a life-giving water, and it flows into us from the Lord, and it gives life.
It's interesting that the blessed apostle Paul, in Titus chapter 3, uses this scandalous language that he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. And I suppose since we're about out of time, we need to pick up on Titus 3 the next time, because again, there you have that language of he saved us, and how did he do it? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which is talking about what?
Baptism.
Ah, let's dare to be Lutheran again next week.
Happy living in your baptism, folks.